What would you do if you got scammed? Would you suffer in silence, or would you do something about it? Well, I got scammed once, and this is the story of what I did. I'm Justin Sales, the host of The Wedding Scammer, a true crime podcast from The Ringer. And for 7 episodes, we're hunting a con man, a guy with a lot of aliases, a guy who's ruined a lot of weddings. And with the help of some friends, I just might be able to catch him. Listen to The Wedding Scammer on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit JiffyLube.com.
Well, well, well. Back in the saddle. I changed a flat tire today.
Oh, you waited till today to do it?
I wasn't going to do it last night at 10 o'clock.
Okay. Well, if you had an emergency, you would have been out of luck. I'll tell you that much.
I have other vehicles.
Did you figure out why you had a flat tire, Michael?
Huge piece of metal in it. Got out of the tire at the house and literally...
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
That's crazy. Okay.
Made it home, though.
I'm really happy to hear that there's you didn't
a real,
die.
I'm saying this because there's a real sense of accomplishment. You leave doing a podcast. Like, cool, I got to talk for a while.
Yep.
You change a tire on your hands and knees.
Dude,
that's... Unscrewing bolts and jacking up cars.
That's funny you say
you
that.
You would understand. When's the last time? Have you ever changed a tire? You have, I'm sure. When's the last time you did it?
It's been a while. It's been a while.
10 years?
I don't drive over
pieces
of metal.
Since Charlie was born?
Since Charlie was born, yes. But I don't know. Here's what's funny that you say this, though. I got under a vehicle yesterday myself.
Why?
There was some, I don't know, there's some plastic that goes underneath the car.
Shield.
Yeah. It was like dragging. I guess like the screw came out and.
What vehicle?
The van. So I got under, what I did, because I had literally nothing and I was in the middle of nowhere in Springfield, Tennessee. I got a knife out. I cut the strap off of a folding chair in the back of my van, then cut the strap into strips, then stuck it through the hole in the plastic and then the hole where the screw's supposed to go, tied it off. And I felt like a real man. I got a little dirty. My hands had oil on them a little soot, but still same, still dirty. We're men.
I really pictured you being the Michael Scott type. Like Sam's under there changing the tire. You're like, I'm going to get traffic. Don't worry. She's like, we're in our driveway. Nope. Someone's going to do the traffic.
You never know who could be coming down the other end.
Interesting. Okay.
So since the last episode, we both become men. So that's kind of cool. We had an anniversary party for you and your wife. Not a party, but
a dinner.
A fantastic dinner. If you guys have not, if you come to Nashville and you feel like splurging a little, Bourbon is the place to go. 2 years running. Every year I'm getting more excited for your anniversary than my anniversary these days.
First time I was not thrilled with the meal.
You were not?
No, me and Hannah
last year?
Last night.
Oh, you were not thrilled with the meal last...
Me and Hannah both were like, eh.
Man.
First time, eh.
I'll tell you, the meal was fine. It was not worth what we paid for it.
Every other time I felt it has been. Last night I did not. You and Hannah also drank like fish. That's the problem.
Okay, no, we didn't.
The booze are expensive. The drinks are super expensive, though. That is the problem.
When I got in the car, I have a breathalyzer to have fun with to test. Boy. And I was 0.05. I don't know what that means in your world, but
that's... You were 0.09. Sam was 0.05.
No, you guessed. We were all guessing what anybody would blow. And everybody was, of course, in the legal limit. And I was 0.05. So, there you go.
Well, yeah, last night was the first night. Too expensive. I also don't believe that breathalyzer for a second. I'll tell you that right now. I have video of you at that dinner. That I will take the
fine. You can post the video. I was perfectly
fine.
I'm not
posting the video anyway. I was saying the video was hilarious.
All right.
You were in because it was rare form, Jesse.
What does that mean?
Super wired hands, just dancing like a ballerina every time he opened his mouth.
I talk with it my
hands.
It was
one of those. This was me and our friend Tyler, who's been on the show before. We just sat back. I said, just sit back and watch. Because at one point, he's like, what do we do here? I was like, you just sit back. You let it happen. You just let it happen. It's fun for everybody. I told you last night, you were the Garth Brooks. We were just in the audience. That was a compliment.
That is a compliment. I do appreciate it. As Garth Brooks is a hero of mine, so thank you very much. I would like to get to the cards of this show, though.
Transition. Massive news today.
I did not
see it on the sheet here. Massive news.
Well, then maybe I don't know.
Panini just announced they signed Tim Duncan to a multi-year deal.
I did see
this
that.
I was curious what you would think of this. I could see you just saying like, oh, cool, they signed a guy. No big deal.
Well, my thing was Tim Duncan, how relevant is he?
Unbelievably relevant.
In this point.
Unbelievably.
Okay. All right.
He hasn't had a signed autographed card, I believe, since 2000 co-signers.
So that's what makes never this signs. Especially
oh, it's
big.
Huge.
Okay.
So they announced he's going to be in Crown Royal and Impeccable. He has Savage Patch Autos and Crown, those Silhouette Patch Autos. Yeah, there are very few individual players. You could be like, hey, we're getting this guy, and it would make a big, like an actual big deal. Yeah.
But the fact that he is, you know, obviously no longer playing.
Still, all-time great, beloved guy.
Okay.
And he doesn't have any autos like this.
Okay,
like you can't find his stuff anywhere. And the stuff he has is all old kind of crappy stuff. And one of the biggest issues, too, with some of his stuff, faded autos. He's never had patch autos.
Really?
The fact that Wemby doesn't have autos in Panini this year, uh-huh. But he does, like that's a massive chase for the Spurs. This is big, for sure. Like this is not, and some of the younger guys may not care. It's fine. But yeah, if you could name like one player, like Jordan obviously would be number one. If Jordan all of a sudden started signing, fine.
Yeah.
LeBron, number two. Duncan's probably number three in basketball because everybody else signs already.
What he was, I guess he was got to be in like that 75, the NBA 75 that went on last year, and they ranked.
What do you mean?
You know, like where
best
it
players?
Was, yeah.
Oh, 5 to 10 for almost everybody.
I'm double checking. I wonder what he was because he had to have
no
been in
way.
The top.
Quite frankly, if Kobe didn't die and change the whole narrative of his life and career, because people look back on it differently now,
yeah,
they romanticize it. Duncan is ahead of Kobe in my opinion.
Really,
he's got 5 rings, multiple MVPs. Multiple finals MVPs, one of the best defensive players of all time. And
the
one
Spurs
with different,
are having a thing going here.
I mean, he's like Duncan is and the most underrated top 10 guy.
Do you think there was any forethought in that to go after Duncan specifically? Because knowing that, yes, their product may still have Wemby, but they're not going to have Wemby autos in it. That if you're buying into a break or something, you want the Spurs, you're going to get a little consolidation prize of a possibility of getting Tim Duncan.
I think you meant to say consolation.
Sure. What did I say?
Consolidation. We're not consolidating.
Constellation
anything.
Prize.
Yep. The stars are involved.
Stars. Yep.
I don't know. And this isn't a consolation. I'd rather have a Duncan. Like Duncan autos are going to sell through the roof.
Interesting.
Like I think people are underestimating. Like the first couple of comments on the post I made, $2,000. I said, yeah, absolutely thousands of dollars. That patch auto, the silhouette patch auto, the one I think they saw, I think the one they showed in their release was numbered to 25. Actually, I'm looking at it now.
Mm-hmm.
So they got an impeccable auto that's on card. They got the Crown Royal that's on card. Come on. The video's loading. Take it easy. Everybody breathe. There's a patch auto in here. This silhouette patch auto is as ridiculous a card. Yeah, it doesn't have the numbering on it. I'm going to guess that's numbered to 25. That's going to be like a $10,000 card.
$10,000
card. The patch autos? I mean, he's never had a patch autograph.
That is pretty cool, though.
And he's an all-time great. Like I said, Jordan, LeBron, 1-2. But LeBron has a bunch of patch autos. Jordan has them, too. But that would be bigger news. So those guys all of a sudden signed, and they're going to be in licensed product.
Mm-hmm.
Fine. The other thing, too, I saw some criticism like, oh, why would you wait till now to do it? Well, Panini still has 3 years, like this year and 2 more years on their license.
Yep.
Now, granted, that might change. Maybe there's a lawsuit. Other things have happened, whatever. But as of right now, they still have NBA licensing for the next few years. This is great. My only fear. This happened a couple years ago with Charles Barkley. I think it was 2018. Look up. Do me a favor. Look up. Just put Panini Auto Charles Barkley and do 2018, then 2019. I'm pretty sure it was 2018, though. I think this was the...
What am I looking for?
I just want to see if he has... Because Barkley was a guy, same thing, never signed. Then all of a sudden they got him, but they put him in everything.
Oh,
I see. So I'm curious if that was 2018, if that was the Luka year.
Panini, 2018, Panini select Charles Barkley signatures. He does obviously have Panini autos.
So it was 2018. So that was the first year he came back then.
Okay.
It was awesome. We pulled a Hoops autograph of his, and it sold for $300, the base auto. But by the end of the year, they wore it out.
It was just too much.
He was in everything, and he's still in everything because it was a multi-year deal.
Yeah.
I don't want to see that happen with Duncan. Now, granted, the difference is Duncan, to me, is a much bigger star than Barkley in the game. Obviously, much, much greater player of all time, not even close.
Yeah.
And I think Duncan has a much bigger collector fan base as well, but I hope there's some balance here. Like, put him in a couple products, make it all low-numbered, don't go crazy.
What's the deal when, like, Jordan or LeBron sign with Upper Deck? They can't do anything with the teams, right?
No licensing, correct.
Right? So, in this world, there's a chance, even if Panini, you know, say they get to keep their licensing through 2026, I guess?
Yep.
Then, if they are keeping Duncan on, even after that point,
if they are, yeah, I don't
if
know.
They are,
you can do like what Leaf does, like no logo autographs.
Well, and obviously, LeBron and Jordan are doing the same with Upper Deck, so it's possible they could still keep Duncan on and still have signed material.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, they could. That has no appeal to me. Just like the Upper Deck autographs of Jordan now, it's like Goodwin Champions, like him smoking a cigar in a polo.
Yeah,
it's just
not the same.
Upper Deck, by the way, has just totally botched everything, in my opinion, with that. You have some of the best signers in the world. Why do we get them in I get them in like stupid pictures.
Yeah.
airbrush out the photo, like the team name, but sure. Put some creative work behind the photography. You could have some awesome Michael Jordan and LeBron stuff. And Gretzky, by the way. Gretzky signed there, Tiger Woods. Who else? There's a bunch of guys.
Yeah, I was just thinking of Tiger, LeBron, and Jordan. I saw something recently about
dude, you could do some awesome, amazing stuff. They pack every year, they just pack it and they just bull crap. It's such a wasted thing for them to have it.
Maybe that changes. Who knows? There's still the rumors out there about LeBron switching teams to over the top. So
I hope he does. I would love to see him in actual product again.
This
is huge news. Like the Duncan thing, I don't want it to be overlooked. My fear, they're going to overdo it. My other fear is I hope it's not all redemptions. I want to see some live stuff.
Oh, why wouldn't they? I would think they'd do live, Barkley
was
right?
A redemption in almost everything.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the only other guy, too, I was thinking of
it's
this,
not like
too.
He's got a busy schedule. I wouldn't
guess.
How do
you know what Tim's doing?
I'm just saying, he's not like
you
know, going
to... He's working more than me and you. Please.
You don't even know. He was probably sitting on a beach somewhere, having a great time.
The only other guy I could think of, Barkley was like this, who didn't sign anything. Patrick Ewing hasn't, to my knowledge, hasn't signed in years.
Okay.
He had like a bunch of SP, like Upper Deck stuff back in the day.
Yeah.
I don't know if he has a single Panini autograph of anything. I could be missing one, but he's another guy who just doesn't sign. But Duncan's the other one. And then Mookie Betts.
This actually works in really well because what I wanted to talk about was NBA heating up not just due to Wemby.
Oh, hang on. I was wrong. Patrick apparently started signing again in 2021.
That's fine.
He's got a bunch of Panini autos then. Okay. Interesting.
The overall market does seem to be growing as far as like what's selling, the volume of sales in NBA. There is a number of guys who I think have been on the radar in the past but have since fallen off. I wanted to talk about a few of them, cards specifically, not just like, I know we typically just do like a Prism PSA 10. I want to talk about some real specific cards that are very hot right now that have had some recent jumps in the players behind them. I am curious, though, if you had to take a guess based on what you've seen so far, maybe some preseason, any NBA players that are standing out to you that you would think pricing may have jumped on one or two or multiple cards?
I haven't paid attention. Well, I mean, I know, like Dame, like the guys who made noise off season, but nothing on court that I've seen that I was like, oh, yeah, this should make a difference. No.
Well, and this is how I pulled it. I basically am pulling cards for anything past the year 2014, I believe. And all basketball, of course, and all gem mint or up. So it doesn't matter which product necessarily. A lot of them are going to be obviously Prism, but some Mosaic and stuff in there too. But the players in general, they are averaging out to be a lot of the same guys. The very first one, the top one that is sold, this was over the last year or so.
You're saying top one, like the highest sale?
Highest selling card. actually not in the top. This is the last month. In the last month, these are the guys who have the highest sales.
The highest sales post 2014.
Not highest sales prices, but the highest increase in price for a card over $50 specifically.
It was printed after 2014.
After 2014. Yep.
Get some serious parameters here.
It doesn't sound like
did you double down on the AD medicine today? ADD? No. Like you are because you're locked in.
Well, I am locked
Last
in.
Last night I had Lucy Goose Jesse. We're having a great time. You bring that guy on the podcast. Simmons comes on within an hour. We're re-signed.
Listen, that guy.
I get locked in, Jesse. It's fine.
That guy on the podcast is great, but you know what he doesn't do? Any pre-research to actually provide data to the audience.
You know, he also doesn't do let anybody else speak.
You know what, I'm kidding. Though?
We had a great time. I'm joking with you. I'm excited to see this
thing. If you had something to say that was more important than what Garth Brooks had to say, then yeah, you would have been able to speak. That's fine. Zion Williamson is the number one. And he is not, it's not just one card, it's multiple cards of his. But Zion, if you haven't seen, and this happened last year, right? Like he started to come back. He started looking good. Pricing started to go up. And then bam, injured, out. Everybody's hopes and dreams crashed. This year is looking something similar, but again, pricing is doing something similar. He has had a nice jump, specifically looking at 2019 Silver Prism PSA 10. This card had jump.
This card was literally $4,000 for a while. I had some of these.
Mosaic?
Oh, silver? You said Prism Silver. Which one do you mean?
It is listed as Silver Prism.
It's
the mosaic. Okay. Yes. Oh,
much, much less than never.
Yes. But that's why
the prism's even way less.
I wanted
less
to
than
do that. Attainable cards too. That's why I did like $50 and over.
Okay.
Went up about 192% over the last month. This card last sale before 2 days ago, I believe. Yeah. 2 days ago, it sold for $120. Before this, it was selling in the $40 range.
Yeah, he went off against some Magic. He didn't play a bunch of time, but he had 16 points, 5 steals. He had a couple big dunks there, too.
This is not to say, of course, that all of these cards are going to do this, but he does have a number of other cards that have recently had big jumps. His 2019 Prism Silver, so not the Mosaic, but the actual Prism Silver.
So in recent history, that card was doing like $800.
This card, when you say recent history, what do you mean?
The last 6 months.
So in the last 3 months, this card... Does probably up until recently, that. It has not gone above 350. 300. Actually, no, I said 3 months. This is a 6 month calendar.
Oh, man.
But this is not a PSA 10. Clarify, this is a BGS 9.5. So it is a gem mint, but it is not.
Oh, okay.
So that is probably going to factor in pretty heavily on that Absolutely. Pricing. So, yeah, yeah. But that still being the case, this card, again, 6 months ago, it was averaging probably closer to 250. It is selling right now. $420 is what it sold for yesterday.
So yesterday also hit how much?
$420.
$696 for a PSA 10 of that same card.
I mean, obviously there's going to be a price difference.
That's insane though. It's almost
but
double.
That's what I mean. Like there's
I'm curious what these were doing before that then. Cause it was like, they're all like $650. He played on the 17th. Okay. On the 15th for PSA 10s, $550, $600, $625, $550. Since that game, $650 and $695.
So that card increase over the last month was 91%. He also has a 2019 Select PSA 10. This card is up 60% over the last month. So obviously we're seeing a pattern with Zion stuff. So he's heating up the market.
Good. I got a ton of Zion stuff I've been sitting on for 2 years.
I've got some good news for you. One of the other guys who has a number of cards that are doing...
Kevin Durant.
No.
No, not good news for me then, because I don't care.
Ben Simmons.
Oh, I do have a... It's funny. I got Simmons, Zion, KD, and there's one other guy who I'm upside down on that's in that box.
This could be the year of Mike in the NBA.
Oh, and Tatum. I got a bunch of... I have three or four nice Tatum cards. The PSA 10 Auto, the PSA 10 Silver. Anyways.
So the 2016 Ben Simmons Prism Silver PSA 10.
I have a couple of these.
This card is up 103% over the last month.
You want to guess what I bought these for? I bought these when I was with you in LA on that rooftop Panini event.
I remember you doing that. I do not recall what you paid.
I bought some Select Silvers, some Prism Silvers. It all averaged out. Again, some of them, the brands are a little bit better. But basically, $200 to $300 each.
$200 to $300
each. That close.
$200 to $300 each.
Are they even doing $150 now?
Let me just make sure we're talking about the same guy. Ben Simmons, silver, PSA 10.
I believe so.
This card right now, it was selling for $250, $220. This card sold yesterday for $500.
Let me double check here. I think a lot of mine are select.
That's pricing over the last 6 months. Now there is, he has another card that's up 92%. It is this select Concourse Silver. This card is up 92%. It just sold for $80 and then $75, but it had been selling for like
the card I have.
$50 to $35.
I'm guessing that's more the card that's in my in my collection.
You think that's probably it? Yeah. But it's still good news for you as far as someone who may be holding a number of Simmons. I don't know what's supposed
to happen with Ben Simmons, though. Like, he plays in the Nets. I don't think they're going anywhere. What's the, like Zion, I get, like, oh, this is a team that almost made the playoffs last year. They're a good team. Like, they have some other talent. And he has been out and is going to come back and, like, could potentially be this monstrous guy. Simmons is not going to come back and score, like, in bunches and be, like, this headline-grabbing type player. He's a good player when he's healthy and when his head's on right.
Well, this is why we want to have an NBA guy on. We're trying to get someone on for next week. Monday, we do have a hockey guy coming on due to many requests. But hopefully Thursday, we can get an NBA guy on to shed some light. This is just more of a, hey, who's doing what? Who's actually jumping in pricing? Jordan Poole, John Morant, these are a few of the other ones who've had some nice jumps in price. Jordan Poole is actually playing fairly well. I don't know if you saw, like, I think it was his game yesterday, I want to say, with, I guess it was the Spurs game. He actually did pretty well.
He plays for the Wizards.
Oh, no, it wasn't. I'm sorry.
He had 41 points yesterday, though.
I was looking at multiple games before this. I couldn't remember who was playing who. But, yeah, Wimby did, honestly, he did very well. Even though he didn't score quite as much, his performance, like some of the passes, the no-look stuff, it has still kept his pricing high. And I'm wondering, like, it's probably gonna be a Brock Purdy situation. As soon as he has like one really bad game or just not great, you'll see pricing suddenly fall. If you're looking to get into the market, I would say just wait until that point because it's inevitably going to happen.
John Morant's weird. Like, he's gonna miss 25 games. I don't know why people would be rushing to buy him now.
I know that. So he doesn't play until like right before Christmas, I believe, is when he comes back. The only thing I can think of is some of his offseason people have seen practicing things like that. Other than that, yeah, I agree. I'm not exactly sure if it's just gambling mentality or what, but his pricing nevertheless is going up on a number of his cards as well.
Weird.
Yeah, it was kind of cool just to see who's doing what. Porzingis, though, he was actually the number two who's increased the most over the last month, 115% for his 2015 Prism Red, White, and Blue PSA 10. Granted, there's not a ton of those, only 92 graded, but still, Porzingis, obviously, you're a fan of. So, anyways, NBA's heating up, not just Wimby. Duncan is helping the card market, and all of these other guys we just mentioned are as well. So, that's your NBA update. Do you want to do any MLB with the World Series coming up? Are you excited? I mean, at least
I don't really care.
Yeah.
I'm excited. I mean, I think there's been some good hobby moves.
Are you afraid Corbin's out?
Shut your mouth. Okay, don't talk about Corbin.
I'm just saying.
You never met the man.
You don't seem very as excited as you were.
I'm hoping they can put. Yeah, I mean, the Phillies look really good. I will say, like, the Bryce Harper market's going to do well, and people are finally starting to take note. I've seen a couple people make that comment. I even heard some content about that. Like, hey, is Bryce Harper underrated? Like, have we kind of overlooked him in the hobby? Potentially. I like that.
Okay.
I want Corbin to come back and win, but they're down 2-0. I don't think it's great. Josh Young's playing really well. Okay. A young guy for the Rangers. That's good, but. Yeah, I don't know. I don't really have a ton of I think Harper stuff will do really well if they make the World Series, if he makes a run. You know, I don't know how much that affects the actual market. I think maybe his market would do something. AL, like I said, I'm hoping Josh Young makes it. I actually think they have a bunch of good players. Corey Seager's had a great year. Adolis Garcia's played really well. Houston's weird. Houston has like star potential, but people are hesitant. I think the amount of talk that still comes up with the cheating scandals is ridiculous. I guess it's not that it's unwarranted. I'm just surprised we haven't moved on yet.
Wait, there's still a lot of talk about
it? Oh, yeah, all the time.
Oh, really?
And I think that really, really, no question, that hinders their markets.
Well,
Bregman, Tucker, Altuve, all those guys because of that.
If we're talking about card markets, I think there's another baseball thing we have to talk about because you and I haven't discussed this other than we did make a post on Instagram a couple days ago, but it is looking like there's more than just two one-of-one superfractors in the Bowman Chrome product.
Oh, my God. Somebody just pulled a third.
There's now a third superfractor out there, at least for one player. Actually, who was that? Let me see. I'll pull it up. But the fact that there are now three of them out there is very...
It's weird. Only one of the people we tagged commented on that post. I wanted them just to come, like, to comment and confirm. Because I've been told, like, yeah, there's a video of all three of these guys posting it.
You think that might not be? I think they're... I went to all their social pages. They all had individual cards posted.
I didn't see that card posted on the one guy.
It was in a story, I believe. He posted it in a story.
Pulling it.
I don't know. It was pictures of him at the time it was pulled. But it didn't show actual video of him pulling it out.
The hobby one.
Yeah, I mean, I don't understand why you would make a...
Well, he didn't make any.
Because, I mean, one of them was actually the very first card that got pulled.
Mitch's box break. They commented and said they actually redeemed it for the bounty.
And they were the second to pull it, in fact. The other ones. Yeah, Hobby House FL. They were the first ones to pull the...
Confirmed.
Juan Benjamin.
We have video of it. Or it's on their Instagram page, at least.
Yes. Yeah. So Hobby House pulled the first one. Mitch's box breaks. They pulled the second one, and they were the ones to submit it for the buyback.
Yep.
Who pulled the third? And now this third one goes to Kosher Breezy. They are the ones who are showing on their page.
It is on their page.
Again, it wasn't a video. It was pictures. So, I mean, I think...
Because, like, I'm looking at their... Oh, you're right. It is there now. Maybe I overlooked it. Okay. Yeah. A couple days ago, I see it there. Good. I'm glad to see that, because I hadn't seen that the other day, and I was like, oh. And then my thought was, did they actually pull it, or like a repack of some sort? But it doesn't look like it. I think they pulled it as well, which is what we were told. So, yeah, that's pretty savage. Like, at some point here.
I just wonder why they didn't just come out and say that. Like, what they already made... They already came out and announced, like, yeah, hey, we did make a mistake.
So did they not know?
That's the only thing I can think is, like, and if you don't know, that kind of makes it worse. So, yeah.
The other thing then, too, like, do you now have to buy two of this guy's back? And not, like, do you got to get two off the market and destroy them both? And
you're asking a lot of questions.
Brutal. I know. Absolutely brutal.
I know. I am wondering if they're going to come out with something else. I do hope they do. Because here's the thing. Yes, is it embarrassing to come out twice? It is. But if you are taking the right steps, which is acknowledging mistakes, I feel like you got to at least somewhere say something about it, even if you're not offering up another bounty or something like that. But yeah, that news came out a couple days ago. We'll see if this is the only one of one superfractor third pull, or if there's going to be multiple. I can't imagine it's going to be the only one.
I don't know, man.
Actually, next up, I think our guest is getting ready to join us. Peter Steinberg, SGC president, is going to be coming on the show. We've got questions from you guys as well as our own, and he's going to talk about a few things. So let's bring on Pete.
This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit JiffyLube.com.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. I was traveling internationally last year. I was in Mallorca. I didn't know the island well. I said, let me head to the north, head towards the water. Let me go on Hotels.com and see what they have available. Something preferably on the beach, maybe even a gym. Not only did I get those things, there was a kids session with exercise, gymnastics in the water, pony rides, a train. It had everything, and I didn't even want any of those things. But at least I knew they were there, just in case I changed my mind. And now finding the perfect hotel has never been easier, thanks to the Hotels.com app. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly, right, all-inclusive or a relaxing spa weekend, you can find exactly what you need and compare hotel prices, ratings, and amenities side by side. So start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
All right, here he is. Peter Steinberg, president of SGC, has joined us. Peter, let me ask you this, because we call you Pete, and I see your name Pete so many places, but I feel like Peter is like the more respectable term. How do you want to be called?
I'm happy with either.
It's Pete.
That's a great question that I'm sure so many of your viewers are tuned into.
These are the hard-hitting questions we lead with here.
There you go. I wasn't expecting that one. Peter, Pete's just fine.
Listen, if I don't throw you off your game to start with, then how are we going to know you're giving this the 100% honest truth? So that's what's happening today. No, Peter, thank you so much for joining. I think the one thing that we wanted to talk about a little bit when you said, you know, we talked off the show about coming on, doing something in the future. And we've been trying to get you on for a little bit. I know you've had so many things going on in Florida. Tell us what's been going on in the most recent months with SGC.
Yeah, so obviously we had a pretty big month in September. We not only lowered our prices pretty drastically, pretty much across the board, but we also released the first ever mobile app that SGC's come out with. That was a controversial thing internally. If we should pair these announcements together and kind of really give the hobby the biggest bang possible, or if we want to kind of parse them out and do them separately. And to be honest with everyone, there's a lot of business risk that comes with combining these announcements. For example, if something went wrong with the app where we'd have to pull that back last minute, our pricing was kind of tied to the app because you can order through the app. So we really did take a bit of a chance. There's a kind of a crazy story that went on the night before this announcement went live. But the truth is, being that the announcement was so all-encompassing with pricing and app, and you know, now you have kind of like a My Card section of the app, which is kind of almost like a registry 0.5, almost like a mini version. It lays the groundwork for a registry. The bottom line is there was just a lot to keep our hands wrapped around with this update. And I'm very happy to say that everything went extremely smooth. But since then, we've really given some time for the dust to settle. Obviously, with any piece of technology that's new, you're going to have bugs, you're going to have some issues. We're happy to say that everything is not only stable, but our community seems to really be enjoying the app. And I think for good reason. I played a major part in kind of deciding what would be included in this V1, what services we may want to, you know, kick to a version 2 or 3, that kind of thing. But we're really pleased with how that rollout has gone. And obviously, $15 a card for 5 business day service is pretty much unbeatable. We joke internally, some of the SGC employees that have been here for, you know, literal decades now, they say we've never had a deal this good, even back in, you know, the year 2000. You could get 5-day service, but it wasn't costing $15 a card. So we're really happy with not only the execution of the rollout, but the actual, I guess, the value that we've added to the collecting community in general.
Nice. And I am curious, because around the same time we got an announcement that you guys were affiliated now with the Miami Dolphins. What does that entail? What are you guys doing at the stadium?
Yeah, so that's a really exciting thing to be. Truly, I mean, the Dolphins are very excited to have us, and I'll tell you guys why, because you know, they're used to brands like Publix or, you know, a vodka company jumping on board. And it's really just your run of the mill. Hey, you get a ton of eyeballs, you know, show our brand, show a bottle of vodka on the big screen, whatever. And as you can imagine, most football fans are more focused on the football itself. What's interesting about SGC, obviously, is that the community that we serve is a very similar community to who they serve, which are basically football fans. So there's a lot of crossover there. And I think the Dolphins are really eager to dig into that crossover, as are we. So currently, we have some really cool kind of in-game signage. I believe it's 10 or so times a game, kind of SGC's on this big ribbon banner in the stadium. And then once per half, we have kind of a top performers that's sponsored by SGC, which is a really cool feature as well. With the current partnership, we have some fun things on social media that are coming in the next few weeks or months. But I think what we're really excited for is to potentially grow it into something even bigger. Because we've seen a ton of success. It's really, really been a fun kind of exercise for our team to not only see, of course, the brand that we've worked so hard to build, you know, on the big screen at an NFL stadium. But what's even more kind of cool than that is actually hearing from Dolphins fans or, you know, fans of the opposing teams that were at the stadium, saw SGC, know SGC. And I think it's a feeling that a lot of us collectors have, which is that as much as the hobby's grown, and it's grown exponentially in size, obviously, over the last few years, it's still a very niche kind of thing that we all do and appreciate here. So anytime you're seeing, whether it just be a trading card in general or a big brand in the space, kind of in a more mainstream environment, it's always exciting.
Very cool. I think one of the cool things that you guys have been doing, reaching out and doing these things at the stadium, are you guys doing anything else in other stadiums or other advertising outside of like the card world, like to the general public? I'm just curious.
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, if we are speaking honestly to some other sports franchises that have reached out since our partnership with the Dolphins, and there's some potential there for sure. Nothing is set in stone as of now. We're just really in kind of the feeling out phase. But for now, the partnership is basically limited to just kind of an in-game experience. But anyone who's ever been to a football game, a basketball game, a baseball game obviously knows there's a lot, as I said, of kind of crossover there, whether it be in the team store, whether it be really anything having to do with the retail side of things, events, that sort of thing. So it's exciting. And I think what we're proud of is this kind of thing doesn't happen all that often in the space, and for good reason, because it's not easy, it's not cheap, and you know, I think it's an accomplishment that we've been able to get to this point, but we're eager to kind of dig in even further.
Curious, Pete, the one thing we heard about the app too, I think the biggest reaction aside from people were happy to see it, is this is definitely a different direction for grading, right? And what I mean by that is PSA, BGS, and even CSG to a large degree have catered more toward the bulk sub guy. Like, it's almost like they want their cards coming from bulk sub people. With you guys making an app that goes direct to the public, is that kind of the path that SGC is on now? Of, hey, I know you guys still have affiliations with some bulk sub guys, and that's great. But is kind of the focus now just, hey, we just want people to sub their own cards and come direct to us? Or what was kind of the thinking behind that?
Yeah, I wouldn't say that's exactly accurate as far as, you know, I guess describing the state of mind we're in currently and how we see the business. Just for example, last Friday, me and some of the members of our team visited the local card shops in the South Florida area. And that was not only super fun, but very enlightening as well. We appreciate the business of all of our group subbers. We think that there's a ton of value that group subbing creates. But I think that traditionally in the hobby, the reason that collectors are going to group subbers is because the experience is just so painful to grade cards, to deal with these big companies and not get an answer to your question when you have one and things like that. So I think what we're looking to do is really dig in even further on the group subber side of things as far as, you know, making things easier for collectors. There's a lot of camaraderie around kind of live reveals and submission previews and things like that. But at the same time, we are making, we feel very strongly in the way of kind of making it easy for your average Joe who just, you know, visited the local card shop for the first time ever and now has some raw cards. We want them to be able to kind of understand the process, feel comfortable, have it be easy, make sense, have, like I said, a customer service department that's alive, that kind of thing. So it's really catering to group subbers the way that we feel we should, because we think they're good for the hobby. But at the same time, that's not at the behest of your average collector who just wants to get some cards graded themselves.
I'm curious, Pete, before I got into this question from our mailbag, which I really am interested in because it's a TCG related question. I'm curious what your opinion is of SGC in the sense of what you guys do better than anything else. So as far as you guys are, you do a lot of really good things as accurate grading goes and making sure customers are getting not only their cards graded on time, they're sent back very quickly, faster than what your estimates are most of the time. But what do you think it is that SGC does the best?
I think the thing that I'm proudest of as far as the progress that our team has made and kind of who our team is and what the current state of our brand is, and this might not be the answer that you're expecting because it's not exactly the most concise. It's a little vague, little general, but I think that what's really special about our team is the trust that we've built with the hobby, and for good reason, because we really are just a group of extremely passionate collectors that decided back in the year 2019 or so that we wanted to try to make a run for it. We wanted to do our best, at least, to disrupt the old kind of dusty ways that this industry functioned as far as grading goes, with enormous lead times, fees for basically every single thing you want to do as far as grading experience a little better or adding an autograph grade, that sort of thing. So I think the thing that I'm really most proud of when I look at our team today, it's who we are as a company and kind of just how we function, which, as I said, is pretty broad, but it really matters. You know, I say it all the time. The game that's being played here between buyers and sellers of these cards is an extremely impactful one. You know, it could be a card that's worth hundreds of dollars, thousands of dollars, hundreds of thousands of dollars, and as we've seen recently, millions of dollars. So it really, really matters, not only some policies that your grading company has or how they handle certain situations, but at the end of the day, who are they and what are their intentions? Because I have to say, you know, everyone's terms and conditions on their website are written so that basically these grading companies can decide, oh, we got a grade wrong. Oh, something happened here. Sorry, not our problem. That's any big company in the world is going to set up, you know, their legal terms and conditions to benefit them. But when it comes down to it, it's who is on the other end of the phone with you when you have an issue. Who's the one that you're emailing when you found out that a graded card may not be authentic or there may be an alteration that was missed, that sort of thing. And I think, again, the thing that I'm proudest of is that my team, I can say very confidently, really goes about our business, not only with a tremendous amount of pride, and professionalism, being that we do such an impactful thing, but I think we do the right thing as well. In fact, I see it every day. I'm the one who cuts a check when we have to buy back a card simply to get it out of the market, you know, for whatever reason. So it's I think really what it comes down to is the team itself at SGC is a team that we've kind of hand built ourselves, and we're extremely proud of the team that we have here.
AP, another question I have for you. I'm curious. I think our audience is too, because I think one of the best things you guys have done, I don't remember even when it started. I think it was last year with some of the products. The whole teaming up with Fanatics or Tops or whatever it is, but the promotion of on a lot of these new products, you've run multiple times now, $9 to grade the new stuff. I'm trying to think, like the last one I think was, did you guys do that for Bowman Chrome or no? I can't remember the last one. I thought it was Bowman Chrome. Maybe it wasn't.
Bowman Chrome we actually missed. I believe that what we have running right now actually is Topps Chrome.
Okay. Yeah. So like the deal where like, hey, brand new product, send it in. It's been $9 in the past few. Is that something that we're going to continue to see you guys doing, like working with companies like that to like get promotion on the new stuff and get things graded super cheap? Or what's the thought of that going forward?
100%. If you asked me kind of the state of SGC, let's say 3 months ago, I would have told you that these $9 specials are something that I'm super happy with and very proud to offer to the hobby. But what I also would have told you is our standard pricing, I was not super proud of. It was too high. It was too clunky in the way that it was quantity based. We really wanted to lower the barriers to entry, not just obviously for the modern collectors who have these cards that qualify for the $9 price. But I'm happy to say that obviously with the last pricing change that we have, we not only feel confident that our prices are now, you know, fair and kind of valuable to the hobby for any card, But what's really, really cool is that those $9 specials, we have no plans to take those out of the equation. In fact, we're looking to make them even more fun, more interesting, hit broader, kind of a broader spectrum of cards if possible. So the what I've realized at SGC, really just from going through some reps, is that the hobby loves specials, and for good reason, you know? And I think that we're not looking, I don't want the community to think that as we've lowered the price of our standard service, we're looking to abandon ship here on all things promotions and fun and that sort of thing. So really what the hobby could expect from SGC is likely to dig in even further, because it's a lot of fun here to make collectors happy.
I got one other question too, and I don't even know if there's an answer, because I get asked this all the time. You know, there's a reason we work with you guys. I'm trying to phrase this correctly. We've been working with you guys for years now because my experience with PSA left a lot to be desired. My experience with BGS was just a train wreck. So I finally started using you guys back in 2020. That's why the call to Jess was like, hey, we need to reach out to these guys. Like, I'm literally promoting them now anyways, because I think I like what they do. It's consistent. I've had a good pro. And a matter of fact, I had an issue where a bunch of my stuff got busted up and you guys made it right within days. And that was before we had any sponsorship, relationship, whatever. But the reason we've worked with you guys, because I think you guys do a bunch of things right. Like the consistency, to me, the biggest thing, the customer service. We have guys in the Facebook group. There's 120,000 people. There's an issue once a week in there, I bet. And every single time it ends the same way, they get it taken care of. And that's why it's, you know, we're happy to be in this partnership with you guys. The only area where you guys are number two, in my opinion, is resale value on slabs. You take away resale value and you cannot show me a single thing that PSA does better than you guys. I am curious, and I don't have a great answer right now, but I want to get your thoughts. How do you close that gap? It's not that it's this crazy gap like it was in 2019, but how does SGC catch up to PSA on resale value of slabs?
Yeah, the first thing I'll say before I even get into it is we've made a ton of progress in 2019, and I look at resale value, I think it breaks down in two different kind of categories. The first is really liquidity and acceptance of SGC cards. The second, obviously, is the price point that those cards are selling for. We've made major, major progress in both of these categories. And I happen to think that they're a great, I guess you'd say data is a very valuable tool when projecting what may happen in the future as far as SGC's, you know, value go. But I think the biggest thing is when you go to a local card shop, when you go to a card show, you did not see a sea of black slabs, of SGC holders everywhere. And I think today what's really changed is the amount of collectors that just turn away from a card because it happens to be graded by SGC rather than PSA. That group is shrinking and shrinking and shrinking. It used to be the overwhelming majority. Today it's the overwhelming minority. Having said that, we want to stay extremely grounded in the fact that our cards do not sell for a premium over theirs. Theirs tend to sell for a premium over ours. But specifically, when you look at vintage, I mean, lower grade vintage, it's almost a one-to-one. And I follow that market extremely strongly because I happen to be a big vintage collector. We've made major strides in that area. And then certainly on the acceptance of the SGC brand and modern, that's gone very well as well. I think that having this app actually incentivizing collectors to, you know, build their My Cards and add that card to their collection, that helps. But there's a lot more we have to do. I think at the end of the day, what I feel very confident in is that the price gap makes absolutely no sense. If you took someone from any other industry that doesn't know cards or card grading, and you explain to them that this company is known for their consistency, accuracy, customer service, and turnaround time, they'd say, well, how aren't you winning the game? How aren't you the most valuable company? And obviously, there are a few things at play there. PSA has been around, although SGC is now in its 25th year, PSA's been around a bit longer. They offer, you know, a wide variety of services. Obviously, their registry is a super powerful tool to enhance the prices of commons and things like that. So we have it nabbed exactly kind of what these levers are. It's just really a process. It's not something that could change overnight. We're certainly not looking to cut corners in any way. So it's really just about kind of, it's almost like a lot of these collectors' minds are tied in this knot that we need to untie, which is if you think that that the same exact card going from our 10 to their 10 automatically just means something else besides the fact that the card is graded Gem Mint by an industry leading grader, we really just have to educate and inform, you know, the hobby in general. Some people maybe may not be as familiar with SGC as they are PSA. The fact that these grades are very, very comparable. In fact, sometimes, you know, you can make the argument that if there's a grade delta, they got it right. You could make the same, an argument with the same amount of strength behind it that we got it right. So my point is, there's not that one thing you could point to and say, you see this, this is why this card just, you know, gained a tremendous amount of value going from an SGC holder to a PSA holder. It exists today. We see it as much as anyone, believe me. But I think what we're really looking forward to is continuing to educate that these cards are what's being transacted. Those are what's being collected. Everyone's holder and the label, it costs these companies a few dollars, including us. That's not what you're buying. It's not the plastic. It's not the label. You're buying the trading card that's been evaluated by a third-party authenticator because the card is valuable and people want to know what they're buying. And I'd argue that as far as that particular service goes, getting the grade right, treating the collectors, the hobby right, I would put our brand up against anyone's. So I think that we're definitely on an upward trajectory, and it's not new. It's now been, you know, pretty much 3-4 years of an upward trajectory. And I could say sitting at my desk, absolutely nothing's changed from back when it was the year 2020. I'm already working on kind of the next deliverables to just increase, you know, like I said, familiarity of our brand and strength to go along with it.
Well, that actually kind of answered the mailbag question, so we don't have to get into that specifically, but I will read it to you just in case you had any different response. But he says, BJ Kroger wanted to know, dear Mr. SGC, I'm still concerned about grading my TCG with SGC versus PSA or CGC. The community isn't totally on board yet, it seems. Besides the amazing value of submission, which, if anyone doesn't know, it's $9 to grade SGC TCG cards. He says, besides that amazing value, why should a collector choose SGC over the others?
Yeah, so it's really a pretty comparable answer to everything we just talked about with the price delta on sports cards, which is that we are currently grading the cards accurately. We know what we're looking at. We have an amazing TCG team at SGC. If you look at our holder even, it really complements these cards. These cards tend to be looked at more, they're more collected than call it transacted, like a lot of the modern hobby is in sports. And I think that what SGC provides is really just a very affordable, very seamless process to get your cards graded and kind of what we refer to it as almost framed up. I actually am a big TCG guy myself. I love certain sets, but I also hate certain sets because I'm an original 151 collector back from the 1990s. And lately I've been ripping a ton of the Scarlet and Violet 151 that's come out. And as I rip it, I'm almost acting as the collector. I'm acting as our customers. I'm actively opening these packs, opening these boxes and collecting the cards. And it hits me. It kind of dawns on me. There's a real grading company that's offering $9 to put that thing in a 10 or a 9.5, whatever the grade's going to be. But you get it back holdered with a real grade in 5 business days for $9 a card. I mean, you could just do it for fun. You know, anyone who's ever gotten a grading order back knows that it's an exciting feeling. You see how you did. Some cards hit, some cards missed. And I think that to provide that experience with just every barrier basically taken down when it comes to price and service, it's really, I think it's something that's just going to catch on fire slowly. I think it's unrealistic to think that the community is already kind of adopted SGC and trust SGC like they do some other brands. But I think that we fully recognize that. We understand this process. We've been through it before, and we've been tremendously successful on the sports side of things, just really offering collectors a better experience. And we're looking to kind of apply everything that we've done there to TCG. And I have to say, we're off to a really, really hot start. We're seeing a ton of valuable cards coming in every day. And again, I think it just pairs really nicely with the TCG community, which tend to be more collectors than flippers just looking to maximize every, you know, potential profit there is on a certain grade or transaction.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, cool. Well, that actually, that does provide more detail on that side of things. But Pete, thank you so much, man, for coming on the show. Thank you for giving like the audience just a little bit better idea of what SGC has to offer, some of the pros, what you guys are working on, things like that. So as Mike said, we're very proud to be sponsors with you. And at this point going forward, please, if there's any big announcements, let us know. We'd love to let the audience be the first ones to hear about them.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me on, guys. It was a lot of fun, and I appreciate the opportunity to just kind of, you know, get the word out about SGC. And I'm definitely looking forward, as I said, to offering more.
Awesome. Thanks, Peter.
Thanks, Pete.
All right, that was Peter from SGC. Honestly, I got to say, one of the most amazing things about that interview was Mike playing with his hair during it. I need you to undo what you just did. I got to take a picture and let everyone see what's going on over there. Mike's hair. Peter did great. Good explanation of everything with the service. At this point, we're running a little low on time, so we're going to skip a couple things. We do have a little bit of mailbag. I did have to give a couple thank yous. First one, David Pollock. He is a PGA Class A golf professional, and he's a golf instructor, I guess. I don't actually know where he's out of, but he sent us a bunch of like stuff for Mike and Theo, and then just some Marvel cards for me. I just wanted to say thank you, man. That was very, very cool. A ton of Marvel X-Men stuff from like the 90s. And then what did he send you?
I got like 20, 25 Griffey cards, all from like the early 90s. Yeah, that was in an autographed Griffey baseball, which is pretty cool. So
yeah, very
right
cool.
In the Theo chest.
Yeah,
treasure chest.
I had to say thank you on the pod. That was just very, very nice. And if you're looking for a golf service, I guess, yeah, hit up David Pollock. There was another thing that I really wanted to talk about. Your hair, dude, stop it. Like Mike's hair, the poof, what happens to the poof when it's not being poofed is kind of amazing. And you know, this is all on video though, right? Like I can use this. God.
I'm a Viking. Look at me go.
Oh God. The conspiracy theory about the NFL plant. I don't know if many of you heard about this. Carlos, did you?
Chargers fan? The girl?
Oh, so you didn't hear something about this.
Now that you're saying it, I didn't know it was a fan. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah. So Barstool Sports put out like this little video of her, like all the different times they cut away to her doing her thing. And it just seemed very fake. There was a additional video that someone put together, if you'll notice. She goes from a Chargers fan to a Vikings fan at some previous date. Apparently she was on, I think the McAfee show, or I can't remember exactly who show. Yeah, Pat McAfee show. And there was an explanation like she moves cities or something like that. And that's why she was a fan for the Chargers and such a huge fan. And then also a huge fan for the Vikings at the same time. I don't know. It just seems so funny to me. Like, the whole idea of a plant also does seem very conspiracy theorist.
For what purpose?
So I mean, the Chargers have one of the worst fan bases in all of NFL.
But people are going to see this lady yelling and they're going to go cheer for a team now? That's what I mean.
The idea behind it would at least solidify like, hey, there are people who really care about this sport. I'm just saying like
this. Is the NFL still trying to show that? Of course. It's the biggest brand in America.
I don't know. I think you just pulled that number out of your stat. The NFL? You don't know. You're just guessing.
I'm not saying
it's not good.
What gets more views per week?
Oh, view?
Nothing. Like, I guarantee, that's what I mean. Like, you could argue it's probably the biggest and most recognizable brand in America. The Super Bowl is the single biggest media event of the year every year.
I mean, that could be true. All right. Like, I'll give you that.
That's what I mean. Like, it's ridiculous.
So
they're plant, like, what?
You think there's no truth behind any of it? You don't think that could be a thing a team would put somebody out there, or the NFL would put somebody out there to promote anything falsely?
What is it promoting? Fandom for a team? She's yelling like a psychopath at a game. Fantastic. Great. Good for her. But like, who sees that? It's like, you know what? I should be watching football.
I don't know.
If you're not watching football by now, you're not going to watch football. Like, this lady is not going to help change that.
I disagree with that completely. That means, like, wide market to anybody. You just give up, because if you're not already watching, you're not going to.
Well, I mean, if you market to, like, mainstream, I just mean, like, who's watching? Like, if you're, okay, because she's been on Pat McAfee and she's been on Barstool. You think anybody there saw her and started watching football? Those two places.
I think that after this, she was all over Twitter everywhere. Like, her picture, the craziness that she got put on TV for was depicted in memes all over the internet. I think because of that, it gave more credence to, hey, this person loves the Chargers. Maybe I'll check out the next game. If this woman, not a guy watching the sport, which obviously it would be more dominant male audience than female, then maybe other ladies out there see it and they're like, oh, yeah, I'd go check it out. I'm just saying, it just seems very odd. It just seems very odd, and other people took notice, and that's why this isn't my theory.
I could see, like, her doing it, like, to promote her own brand down the road or something. Like, get all these eyes on you, act like a crazy person at a game, go nuts.
Yeah.
That makes sense. But for the NFL, what's the game? I don't buy it.
I mean, listen, Herbert, obviously, his cards sell okay, but it doesn't make any sense already. Like, the fact that his card prices are so high, that's already a conspiracy theory alone. But anyway, all right. I thought it would be more fun to check that out.
I don't get it. I don't understand it.
Well, Barstool and apparently other people on the internet seem to think that it's a possibility. I'm not saying it is. It's just interesting to see. Before we do the PWCC weekly the weekly auction, I did want to mention tomorrow, so Friday, the 20th at noon Central Time, I'm going to go on YouTube live NFT giveaway for the sold out Best of NBA inserts. I think I've got like at least 10 packs. I'm going to see if I can get a few more. I'm just going to give those to anybody who wants to join the live. You don't have to do anything besides have your Panini blockchain ID. So jump in there. I'll post it up on social. But yeah, YouTube tomorrow, Friday the 20th at noon Central Time. All right. So we do have a weekly giveaway. Basically this week we did not weekly giveaway. I keep saying that. Maybe we should give away something since I've said it so many times. I'll tell you what, if I actually win one of the cards I'm bidding on, I'll give it away. But, historically people keep outbidding me purposely to mess with my head. So we'll see. This is the PWCC weekly auction, and we've got a few cards that we've already pulled. The first card from Mike, I think we got to start with, you've made this seem like it's a very cool, big deal. It's this 2000 Leafs certified mirror red Tom Brady rookie. You are the high bidder on that card right now, right?
Right now. Yeah.
$3,000.
It's a big card. It's not one you see often. There's not a ton of sales of that card in a gem mint. By the way, I would put this in the stack of Tom Brady rookies that I will send to SGC to try to have it cracked over and send as an SGC 10. There's your plug. The Brady market is so far down right now. This card used to be $6,000 to $7,000. I'm just curious. If it is way below that, I'm a buyer on it.
Well, that's the thing. Like, we pulled up the card ladder stats, right? And it said in July 27th, that card sold, same BGS 9.5 sold for $7,200.
Give me a close up. I want to see the subgrades actually. Because that makes a big difference. So you got 2 9.5s, a 10, and a 9. Now show me the one that's at auction.
The one at auction.
By the way, this is the same exact card. Same serial number.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, exact same card.
Oh.
I'm guessing this guy literally bought the card, kept it in his PWCC vault, and relisted it.
Oh, that would make a lot of sense. So I'm just curious if you probably would get this less than 7,200. The market's come down
a little bit since then. That's what I mean. Is this card 30% less than it used to be?
Oh, I think I would set a higher max bid if you really want this card, but I don't think it's going to go all the way up to 7,000. That might be a nice little deal for you, bro.
That's why I'm in general, this is not a huge, I don't love this card. I don't love Leaf. I don't love the look of the card. Just not for a PC card for me. I didn't like, but I saw it and I was like, you know what? As rare as it is. And the fact that it's just the market is so far down right now, I can pick it up now. I'd be happy to.
Okay.
But my number is quite a bit lower than 7. So I don't know that I'm winning this one.
There's another NFL card that I know you're not bidding on, but I am going to be bidding on. It's the Joe Burrow Silver Prism. I did look into this. I think the last one sold for I want to say $300. This is the PSA 9 of this card. I think it was like in the 300s. I am trying to, or I'm sorry, no, it's as low as 265. It's going for $72 right now. I'm going to throw on like a max bid of, I think, $200. And I'm just going to see if I could get something real cheap on it. But the reason why I'm looking at this one, I guess PWCC just started getting into more of the marketing side of things. They've got like this whole article section going deep, the numbers behind QB football card dominance. And so they've got a like a 3-minute YouTube video, but then they have this article you can just comb through. It says Mahomes, Herbert, Burrow, and Allen, they are the most impactful as far as like volume, sales volume since 2021. And it goes over just the total pricing of these guys. It's absolutely insane. So it does make me think there are those four players. Myself, I wanted a Burrow, but those four players, if you invested in one of them, there's probably enough fandom or at least enough people out there holding the bag that there's going to be others looking to purchase these cards. So that makes me confident that this card will, at some point, so long as Burrow doesn't just completely crap the bed, he's going to go back up in value over time, and that card will be a decent buy, especially at $265. So
I will say this is also the sweet spot. Since I've started paying attention, since the sponsorship took off, like the vaults, like the Grail stuff, like I'm talking, like the Bird Magic Irving Triple Auto last week, that Brady card even, like those are not the type of cards that are going to sell for 40% below the active market. Like they're just not. There's enough guys looking for Grail stuff like that. Even some of the Griffies I've bid on, that is not the type of stuff that is just going to fall through the cracks.
Yeah.
But I will say the PWCC weekly stuff, if you can find the stuff in the $50 to $400 region, like in that price range, you can actually get some pretty good deals. Because first of all, there is so much of it. Second of all, a lot of guys just don't look and pay attention.
That's the thing. That's been my problem this whole time. I keep like bidding and then missing out by a dollar, and it actually undersold by like 20% or something. I could have made money on it.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So I do think there's a sweet spot here, especially because, again, it doesn't have as, it's not a knock on PWCC, but more people look at eBay than PWCC. Like, it's just a fact. Like, it's the busiest place in the world, which is great in a lot of respects, but it also means everybody sees everything that's happening there. So that's, I don't love Prism stuff anymore in general. So I don't love this card, but the rationale behind it for you, I can actually get behind. Burrow's low right now because he had a rough start to the season. And this is the type of card that should sell for 260. But is there a piece of my brain that says, yeah, Jesse might win this at 205? Yeah, I could see that.
That's why I am going to try and keep my eye on this one.
If you win it at 205, he'll probably lose both of his legs in an accident. He will find a way to lose money.
He's absolutely going to fail. So you guys should all hope I don't win. I'm more curious with your statement of you're not into Prism anymore. What do you
mean? I never have been. I'm not a big fan of it. I just think there's too much of it. I've thought this for a long time. That's why
I mean, like Prism base, I get that, but like a Prism silver or something?
Yeah, it doesn't do anything for me.
There's only like 737 of this card. I'm just kind of surprised. And
730 cards I do not care about.
Yeah, but you would care about like a Topps Chrome or something, right? Like or a Bowman Chrome, if it said first or something. This has the RC, so it's their, you know.
Yeah, Prism the last couple of years just to me is become less desirable because it's just so overproduced and everybody has it. And that has also taken it on the chin more than any other brand.
I just wonder if
Prism has become the face of base cards being overpopulated.
Yeah.
100%. It's not even a question.
Yeah, but it's not like I think my theory is that may be, in fact, part of the reason. But I think you've also been so heavily into baseball that you don't look at these products as much. So
I look at these as much. My PC is more football and basketball than baseball.
Yeah, but I know, but you still, like on a daily basis, you're breaking baseball way more.
Sure.
I'm just, I am curious about that, but we'll go on from there. This is the other card you had, right?
Oh, now this one, I'm conflicted on this card. So I lost out on the bid last week. This is the 1980 Topps, the Bird Magic Dr. J triple rookie. It's a triple auto. The one last week was a PSA 4 10 auto. And it sold for like, 2,700. Yeah, 2,700.
Okay.
I high bid 2,500 because I have a 510. But I was like, if I can upgrade and I like the marker, again, something just as simple as the actual autographs.
Yeah.
This one's same thing, signed with a blue Sharpie. The only difference is this is a PSA 6 on the card, which is a good grade. The auto is a 9, and I don't know why. There's images here.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out that.
I don't think it goes off card because they're all in the middle of the card. I was wondering if Magic is maybe a little bit spotty, the auto. But from what I can see from the high res pics, it looks good. this is one of the few times I would actually downgrade and go from a 10 auto to a 9. But it's also tougher to price. It's a higher card grade. It's a lower auto grade.
Okay.
I would upgrade my copy for this. I think this might be an up. Well, I don't even know if it's a monetary upgrade. I like the look of this better because I just like how they signed it.
Yeah, I was going to say the autographs all look clear. And the nothing with the Magic Johnson card. Yeah, I don't see anything weird about that auto. So I'm curious.
I'll be honest, if the autos look that good, I would just set it back in a PSA.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
Resub and get a 610. Call it a day.
So there are a few other cards that I was looking at. Just I am current high bidder. I almost hate to say anything about them because I know you guys are going to freaking try and troll me out of these. 1977 Topps Chewy card. It is a PSA 9. It's going for like, I'm high bid at $13. I have set Chewbacca. A max bid. I'm not going to say what my max bid is because you just go and purposely outbid it by a dollar. There is an also 1977 Star Wars Han Solo sticker. This one's also going to my dad. I've decided not only am I going to gift some of these to family, but I'm also just going to do it in like a lot. So it is more than just one card. I think that would be kind of cool. So he's got Beatles now and hopefully this Han Solo I am high bidder on. And then this other Blastoise, it's a 1999 Pokemon. It's an SGC 8.5. I'm current high bidder on this thing. There is a large disparity with value, as we talked about with Pete recently. I think I can get this for a really great deal. Again, so long as no one swoops in here at the last minute. But those are the ones that I am looking at. And we'll find out early next week how taken advantage of I was by trusting the audience with that knowledge. So anything else? Anything else you care about before we go over to mailbag?
I don't believe so. I was going to say, I just found the last comp on this exact same card.
On which one?
September 3rd on the bird. September 3rd. So just over a month ago. Same grade. PSA 6, DNA auto grade 9.
So
interesting. What does this mean? Changing my... I'm going to bid a little more then.
Oh, honey.
Take it easy.
Okay, honey. Oh, God. Do I just want to outbid you?
Please. Have fun trying to do that, sweetheart. On your salary? Just kidding. Doesn't make a salary. It's a joke. Everybody relax.
Everybody just take it easy. All right. Well, there you go. Check it out. BWCC auction ends this Sunday. It ends every Sunday. And then I think we got a little clarification on how the extended bidding
high
works.
High bidder.
If you bid
you have to have already bid, then you're included.
You
cannot wait till extended bidding to make your first bid. You have to make a first bid.
Exactly. Early.
So what I tell people, somebody mentioned this, I actually forget who said this. Tyler Tarver.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He was like, dude, just bid a buck or something when you see stuff that first goes in, because then you're at least entered into the extending bidding. It's actually a really good idea.
That's actually not a bad idea. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, because I have no interest in doing this whole bidding war 3 days before it ends. Like, I want to put my bid in, and then give me the last 30 minutes. I'll make my real bid.
I don't know if PWCC is cool with the promotion of us like teaching how to game the system, but
game in the system. They want more people involved in the extended bidding.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. All right. Let's go over to mailbag. Mailbag. There are. I'll never not say that. Cole Benz wants to know, when buying a player that's been traded, like Matt Olson, is it better to buy his rookie or Bowman first? When they are in the original uniform or something when they are in their new uniform.
So one of two things. If you're going to buy his original uniform stuff, I would buy his first or his rookie card.
Okay.
I don't want like a fourth year of him in his old Oakland Athletics uniform. Does nothing for me. If I'm going to buy the new uniform, I want him the first year of the new uniform.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Damian Graybell, thoughts on the new Leaf Shock Drop release? Every card is a one of one, limited to 55 cases or 550 total cards. Checklist looks interesting. I pulled the trigger and I'm wondering what you both think about it. So I did pull this up. We were going to talk about it, but we kind of ran out of time. This is the checklist. If we want to look over it just real briefly, it's actually, I'm wondering if Leaf is kind of like getting their game together here, especially like under new management. And I say that too, because I saw a tweet from them just specifically calling out like, hey, new management is on fire. What is it? It says under its new leadership regime, Leaf is poised for great things. Ain't no stopping us now. So it's like they're really highlighting the fact like, you know, they're no longer under Brian Gray. This is a whole new class. And they're kind of changing things up in a way I'm kind of digging. But the fact that they're doing all these one of ones is pretty cool. And the names in here are not bad either. You got Steph Curry, Shaquille O'Neal, Terry Bradshaw. Let's see. Towards the bottom, too, there's like these dual autos, which are kind of cool.
Flair and Hogan. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, you got that. You got a O'Neal Cruz, George Pickens. Interesting matchup. Larry Bird, Magic Johnson. That's kind of cool. You got a Steph Curry and Durant, and then a Steph Curry and Joker card, too. Sean White, Tony Hawk. Ooh. See, here's the thing, though. I don't think you know what you're going to get, though. Right now, you can just go out and buy a card, and then you get, it's going to be a one of one. You'll know that, but you just don't know who it's going to be. So, yeah, I don't know. I was curious what you thought about it. I think it's kind of cool.
So, the most recent Leaf thing I messed with was that Leaf Vivid Football.
Oh, yeah.
I was actually pretty pleased with it. I mean, we pulled a bunch of nice Vivette autos. It's cheap. Like Leaf, that's still Leaf's big claim to fame is good names for a relatively cheap price, which is important. So I like it. I think some of their brands are still watered down garbage. Like there's just some that I'm like, you got to revamp. But maybe that's what we're going to start seeing, them revamp stuff. So cool.
The $1,500 for the Kelce and Taylor Swift card, even though, like, I do think they'll probably resell for okay money because there's only 11 of them made, it did seem so stupid. Like, the fact that those are cut autos from other products. Yeah, I don't know. I more power to them. I hope that they keep coming up with new ideas and branding. But, yeah, there's some things that are definitely more popular than others. I like this Shock Drop release. I think that is cool.
I haven't seen the cards either. That's the other thing.
Oh, there! I've got a picture.
Any images? Like, do they look good?
They're okay. They are at least the ones I've seen. I want to see the dual ones. The ones that I've seen look like this. If I can drag this over. So yeah,
Go scroll down. There's one dual right there on the bottom. It's Rafael Nadal. Click on the picture. See if it'll pull up.
Yeah, there you go. Nadal and Alcaraz.
You want to be honest? That's an ugly card to me.
I will say.
Like, now that you see that, do you, like, look at the Dame Lillard.
See, I saw this one right here, this white one, and I kind of liked it. But, yeah, these ones with the
whiteboard is okay. Here's the other thing, too. Like, that's I'm assuming that's an F1 driver, the guy on the top right.
Uh-huh.
So there's not much to Photoshop out of, like, the airbrush out because of the logo. Look at the Dame Lillard next to it, though. That looks stupid. I hate, if you're going to do airbrush jerseys, which you have to, right?
Sure.
Even like Panini, when they do Flawless. They do a good job in Flawless where I'm like, oh, I can't tell that something was taken off because it's like the angle of the picture. It's like the guy in his backswing and you can see his number, not his jersey, so it doesn't matter. That's literally just a full-on front shot of Dame Lillard with an all-black jersey.
An all-black like, jersey. Dumb. Yeah.
Steve Young, the same thing, like the Niners jersey.
I guess you could have hidden that, yeah.
That's what I mean. So some of that, to me, and that's just stylistic to me. I just don't like it. Other people may look at them and be like, oh, I think it's great, fantastic. To me, that is still the issue.
You know what I'm also seeing on this checklist? At the very top, they have a note. It says border parallel colors include white number to one and red number to one. So really, you're getting a red one of one and a white one of one.
That's fine. As long as not nine of them, that's okay. Yeah. Two is fine. There's multiple one of ones in every product now. Two is not an egregious number. But the look of that.
Yeah.
I see that. I'm just like, oh.
Yeah, that's the problem, too, is like you're not going to know until you get it either. So
I'd be curious what the resale value is on them. That also makes a big difference.
All right, let's hit a couple
hungry.
More.
I know. I've not had a bite of food yet today. And my protein shake, supplement. Today is day one of Mike getting back in shape so I can live to see my child live. 209.2 pounds today.
209.2? I wish you would have told me before. I would have done a weigh in. I'd love to do it together. Because like I haven't been focused on weight loss, just more of like exercise. Even though I do need to do that. Johnny F., who is Mike's donkey of the week?
Do I have one? Who have I complained about to you? Oh, I can't think.
I feel like it would have been a Monday episode. Today there has not been a lot of... You've been very relaxed today. I'm trying to think. Is this the first no donkey of the week?
No, sometimes I just don't always think of it. If I'm prepped ahead of time, I would have one.
Okay. Well,
I don't have one.
All right, we'll try and work it out maybe before we end this.
The NFL plant, her. She's donkey of the week. I don't like her.
So you admit she's a plant?
She planted herself there to get recognition.
Bradley Aaron Muse, he says, Gio, can you tell us your birth date, anniversary date, and favorite six digits?
Okay. Hey, Bradley?
He's trying to get your password. Dane In no
my
way.
My password is just password. Why does it need the other information?
Mystery Inoue is bad. He says, Jesse, my brother, Curren Inoue, was wondering who you would rather be stuck in a mini car with on a 36-hour road trip, Yordan Alvarez or David Ortiz? Did you have a good answer to this? I figured it's
I even get the question.
Baseball. I mean, who do you want to be on a road trip with?
I guess Ortiz. I don't know.
That's I was
neither one. I don't want to be in the dumb athlete with me.
Yeah, that is a nonsense question. We really appreciate that, Dane. Thank
I'll
you
go with
for
Ortiz.
That.
He could listen to me like tell how great it was. You know, 2004 was so. And he's looking at me like, dude, I don't care. That'd be fun.
Did you see also the 2004 Red Sox cards that he gave you too? Like,
oh, that was my stat. I did not see that.
Yeah, that was all yours as well. All right, let's just do a couple more. I'm sorry, guys, if we missed some of yours. This card has been in here a few times. I apologize if it's not a mass audience appeal question, but Chris August says, what are your thoughts on One Piece TCG? One Piece is like the longest running manga TV show with 1,100 episodes. I'm going to tell you, I just don't know about the resale. I don't think the Netflix series has done all that great. I just don't know if that's going to do anything spectacular. I could be wrong, but and it's not as much in my world as some other TCG is. But yeah, I just don't think so. As far as a sports question, though, Don Getter says, does a baseball player's first Bowman card being in Bowman draft instead of regular Bowman or Bowman Chrome make it any more valuable?
No.
Okay.
It's just the first. It's just a designation of first.
Okay. Yep.
In draft, you're going to get the first after their draft, but some guys will hold over to Bowman Chrome. Bowman Chrome is usually international, but as long as there's the designation of first on it, like the best guy in Bowman Chrome, his first, it doesn't sell for more than the best guy in Bowman draft simply because it's Bowman Chrome. As long as you're comparing a Chrome card to a Chrome card, paper to paper, and they both have first, apples to apples.
Okay, very cool. And someone who asked about Bedard, we're going to have NHL.
Connor
Jeremy
Bedard.
Lee is going to be joining us on Monday to talk NHL. That's it. I apologize. We didn't get to everybody's questions. We'll try to get to them Monday if you throw them in there. But thank you for being here this week. Mike, anything else?
I'm excited about I'm looking at more back of this social post about the Duncan stuff.
Yeah.
I am. I'm overly excited. This one guy, Jeremiah, is arguing with me about this, that there's not demand for Duncan. He's my donkey of the week. He literally, his comparison of like how there's no demand, he showed a 1997 scoreboard Tim Duncan card. Just a stupid comparison. Jeremiah, you are the donkey of the week.
Did you see that Blaze guy just won that pot limit Omaha championship?
Yeah, for like $1.3 million.
And there's another post he did. He was going to give away like 10% of it to like...
He was also cracking. Apparently you get like timeouts during poker. I didn't know this. Like you get like extended times or whatever.
Oh.
He took one of his timeouts or whatever they're called and was literally sitting there ripping Panini One boxes at the table. It's actually pretty cool.
Do I kind of like him? I don't know. I kind of like that move. That's cool.
He's done that in the past too, like promoted cards and stuff when he's there.
Is he just like is this just a one-time thing or is he like a
He's
poker
a
player.
I think that's his profession. His name is Backer because he's like backing him financially, but I think he's like pretty established in the poker world.
Yeah,
very
not paid enough attention to this Blaze. I know the other Blaze is like often showing like videos of him gambling on something, but I didn't know he was like a big poker player. That's kind of cool. All right, there you go. That's the show. We'll be back on Monday with another guest. This has been Sports Cards Nonsense on the Ringer Podcast Network, powered by Spotify.
That's it. Goodbye. Nailed it. See you later.
All right. Goodbye.